Hello, I'm Brandon Logan. This is number 0719, the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0719. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, Aisha Alpha, who is a comic and actress and one of the stars of the Peacock series based on a true story. It's a dark comedy thriller.
It focuses really on Kaley Cuoco and Chris Messina, who are a married couple. It's about our obsession with true crime and murder podcasts and just what can happen when some of that becomes part of your life. I play one of the people from the Wine and Crime group, which is the friend group of Kaley Cuoco's character, Ava, in the show. We drink wine, we talk about the crime podcasts, and we have fabulous, sassy, hilarious conversations.
Lady Patricia Farmer is the author of Tea Under the Palms, From Leaf to Kettle, A History of Tea and the Art of a Proper Tea Party.
Believe it or not, is such a rich topic. There's such a lot packed into the history of tea, how it started. I wrote in the book a little quote, and it said, "Wars have been waged, royal marriages arranged, companies formed, and world problems solved over that perfect cup of tea. It's neither inebriating, expensive, nor fattening. And there's nothing quite so effective for regaining one's equilibrium."
Stuart Nullman is in with another edition of Book Banter.
Hi, I'm Stuart Nullman, and Book Banter discovers the hazards of being a child star by former iCarly star Jeanette McCurdy in her edgy memoir, I'm Glad My Mom Died. Find out why Jeanette chose such a rather out of the ordinary title for her book later on the Stuff File program.
And there's lots and lots of Stuff File news and, of course, an idiot of the day. The guest later, the person who told you this was show number 0719, was Brandon Logan, the station manager and program director at CFMH-FM, local 107.3 FM in St. John, New Brunswick, where the Stuff File program is heard Sundays at 10 p.m. And by the way, Brandon is the new station manager in PD, so we'd like to say a belated goodbye to Olivia Wagg, who just recently left that post. Thank you very much, Olivia, for all your support and help in the past, and we look forward to working with you, Brandon. And thank you once again, Brandon, for doing the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File program, a show that is listener-supported, fan-funded radio that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Well, let's get right to the stuff. We start off with a story that is slightly disturbing. Humberto Marchan was born in Puerto Rico, which makes him a U.S. citizen. He is also a retired federal law enforcement officer, something he couldn't have been if he were not a U.S. citizen. Yet when he showed up in New Orleans at an airport Hertz counter to collect the car he'd already paid to rent, an employee looked at his Puerto Rico driver's license and demanded his passport.
This vacation, really let yourself go. Go Hertz Class. With a new Chevrolet or other fine car, you'll see things you've never seen before. Do things you've never done before.
You mean like geographical ignorance? Anyway, Marchan said he'd already shown a valid ID. The woman told him to go away. Ultimately, she called the police, who sided with her. Said the cop, "We're not going to sit here for any longer and bicker over this nonsense." He then told Marchan to take his complaint to the corporate office, but first, to go away.
Let Hertz put you in the driver's seat. Let Hertz take you anywhere at all.
Well, clearly he has to go away, but he won't be driving. Hertz wasn't taking him anywhere. Hertz, by the way, eventually apologized and issued a refund. Meanwhile, Captain Michael Cunningham of the Kenner, Louisiana Police Department said the department was looking into the manner in which the officer spoke to those involved, but also said the officer's role was to, quote, bring an end to the disturbance, not to mitigate the disagreement. Well, Marshawn, who I should mention has been a Hertz Gold member for more than a decade, should perhaps look to other car rental companies. I hear that Avis tries harder.
If you think Avis tries harder, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, but isn't that just talk?
If we didn't try harder, we wouldn't be Avis.
Fair point. 32-year-old Omar Gutierrez of Gainesville, Florida, donned a cat costume before plunging a knife into his roommate's neck on May 22nd. When the victim asked why he stabbed him, Gutierrez said it was instinctual. Police reported that Gutierrez had told the victim a week earlier that he was, quote, not above killing him, unquote. Gutierrez had claimed that the roommate had hurt his cat. Although he denied it, Gutierrez was charged with first-degree attempted murder because, you know, he had to plan the costume. Well, regular listeners to this show, you already know my theories on cats. They are evil, little pieces of evil, plotting against mankind. I'm almost certain that Gutierrez's cat put him up to this heinous crime. And still with unruly housemates, two Louisville, Kentucky roommates got into a heated dispute at their home on May the 20th over an unlikely subject. Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets!
64-year-old Clifton Williams, yes, a grown-ass man, was charged with second-degree assault after he allegedly shot the victim. According to police, Williams got mad, he ate the last Hot Pocket, and began throwing tiles at him. When the victim moved to leave the home, Williams retrieved a firearm and shot the man in the posterior. In other words, one ass shooting another. Williams remains in the custody of Louisville Metro Corrections. By the way, I checked, but couldn't find any information as to whether Kentucky serves Hot Pockets in jail. So Clifton Williams is completely out of luck. On the other hand, while he's behind bars, his roommate can eat all the Hot Pockets he wants. He'll just have to do it standing up.
Hot Pockets!
Try Lean Pockets, too!
Anyway, let's get to our first guest here in this edition of the Stuff File program, shall we? Aisha Alpha is a very busy lady. She's an actress who is in the new Kaley Cuoco, Chris Messina dark comedy called Based on a True Story. She's a comic who recently released her debut comedy album, All the Parts, and she has her own podcast called The Shoutout Show. We're lucky to have her for the few moments we have her here. She joins us via Zoom from California. Hi, Aisha.
Hi. That you make me sound so great. I'm like, ooh, I am doing a lot of things. What a delightful little intro.
You're a busy, busy lady.
I am. I also have two young kids. So, you know, we're making it work. It's great.
Wow.
I'm having the time of my life.
That's fascinating. Now, I know a little bit about your background, and I want to ask a question about you as a comic, because you were raised in Canada, immigrant parents, and then you went to the United States. And I always think that when it comes to comedy, the thing that works best for comedians is being the outsider and observing. And you've had that distinction kind of twice, because you're living through your parents' experience while growing up here, and then you go to the United States where you're an immigrant there and an outsider. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So my dad is Nigerian. My mom is from Canada. But my brother and I were both born in Nigeria, and my mom lived in Nigeria for a long time. So it's a very kind of like interesting existence where I'm mixed. So I never really felt like I belonged anywhere. You know, when I grew up in Winnipeg, Canada, I grew up in an area at the time that was like, there weren't a lot of Black kids. There weren't a lot of mixed kids. So I felt like a little bit of an outsider there. And then when I would go back to Nigeria, they would call my brother and I white. So we kind of felt like a little bit of an outsider there. And, you know, I moved around a lot as a kid. So I was kind of always on the outside looking in, kind of becoming part of things. And then again, yeah, I moved another time. I used to live in South Korea. I used to live in France. And now I live in America. And it's a constant feeling of being on the outside looking in, which is sort of where I'm comfortable, I think, now. But yeah, it's great for comedy. It's always good to, if you have no like issues in life, no perspective about like struggle, no any of that, then sometimes it's hard to mine comedy. You know, it's like things aren't as funny when everything's going well.
Is that something that led you to comedy in the first place? Because, you know, being the outsider, you want to fit in, you want to sort of like break the ice, and sometimes that is with humor. Is that what you did growing up?
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I never really thought about it that way until I got into comedy. I got into comedy later in life. I used to be a professional soccer player. I used to be a wedding planner. I used to be a life coach. So I had sort of these other lives before I got into the entertainment business. And I think part of that was, you know, both my parents had their PhDs. My dad is an engineer. My mom was a microbiologist. So we were a very academic family. We played sports, but we also like focused on academics. I remember going to university and finding out that you could take drama in university. And like, literally it had never crossed my mind that that was a thing that people could do. And so it wasn't a part of my world to think even about being a performer. But when I started doing stand-up comedy and acting and writing, I was like, oh, this is what I've been doing all this time and not really having a box to kind of put it into. I love being the center of attention. I love making people laugh. I 100% deal with, you know, embarrassment or anxiety or struggle with comedy. So it just kind of all fell into place once I started doing stand-up comedy, sketch comedy, improv. Once I started doing acting and writing, it's like, oh, this is the thing that's going to make me the happiest in life. I kind of got it.
So how well did it go over with your academic parents when you decided to enter the arts?
Everyone always asks that. And, you know, it's so funny because my parents, you know, they came from nothing, really, really, really nothing. And they worked very, very hard. It's the typical story of parents like this, immigrant parents or parents who come from, you know, low income, kind of poverty level sort of stuff. They worked so hard and people are like, oh, they must be so disappointed, you know. But the truth is, they're super proud. My brother's a musician and a radio host, and we were both great in school, but like, both of my parents were like, it's not about what you do. We don't need you to be a lawyer or a doctor. We need you to find a passion and then to pursue that passion. And so they were like, if your passion is basket weaving, become the best basket weaver that you can be. You know, my parents come to my comedy shows. My parents used to go to my brother's rap shows back in the day, like these, you know, mom and dad showing up at a rap show is not so cool. But they were like, this is his thing. This is what he wants to do. We're going to support this until the end. So I'm very lucky in that way that I at least didn't have to battle that at home. My parents were just like, it doesn't matter what it is. You just have to pursue it. If I was great at something and I was sort of sitting back, not pursuing it, that's where they would have been disappointed. That's where they would have been pushing me to do something differently. But I'm very proud and happy to say they might not always understand everything I'm doing, but they're very supportive of me pursuing my passions, which is a beautiful thing to have.
That's great. Well, let's talk about the new film that you're in. As I mentioned, the Kaley Cuoco, Chris Messina movie, which is called Based on a True Story. Tell us a little bit about the true story and the role you play in it.
Yeah, so it's actually a TV series on Peacock that comes out on June 8th. And it's a wild ride is what I've been telling people. You know, it's a dark comedy thriller. It focuses really on Kaley Cuoco and Chris Messina, who are a married couple. And it's about basically our obsession with true crime and murder podcasts that I think we all, you know, it's in the zeitgeist for most people in North America, at least. And just what can happen when some of that becomes part of your life. And I play one of the people from the Wine and Crime group, which is the friend group of Kaley Cuoco's character, Ava, in the show. So myself and Annabelle Dexter-Jones and Priscilla Cortina, we're all part of the group that are sort of we drink wine, we talk about the crime podcasts, and we have fabulous, sassy, hilarious conversations that are just like really fun. It's a very comedic part of the show, and I'm very, very excited to watch it and see what people think.
You've done, as an actress, you've done comedy, you've done drama. Do you have a preference as to what you like? I mean, this is a dark comedy that you're working on now.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, I started in drama, and I think that there's something about all of us where when you get to do drama as an actor, you get to like dive into these deep pools of emotion and really figuring out character and like kind of living in these worlds. And it's brilliant and beautiful. And when you get to do comedy, you're basically doing the same thing, but like playing a little bit more in a certain way. You know, it's usually lighter, but even in this show, some of the comedic moments are from really dark things. Some of the things we're saying are like, you know, if it weren't for it being a comedy, you'd be like, it's so horrible. But so I'm like, the truth is, I think I need both in my life. I need that balance of being able to like improv and have fun and be off the cuff. But then also I love the process of getting into a character and like finding the world and living in that world and digging from all those emotions. So I love the balance. It's like the seesaw of real life. I love that balance of being able to do both.
Now, to be an actress, especially one here in Canada, apparently the road to acting in the United States is by going here in Canada through Degrassi High.
Yes. I mean, you know, if you haven't been to Degrassi, are you even acting in Canada? it's the holy grail of, you know, I mean, I remember watching that show when I was a kid. And so the fact that it went on for so many seasons and that the executive producers were fantastic and really believed in the stories and about like talking about the real issues that youth were going through was so beautiful and important for Canadian culture, I think, in the entertainment industry and just beyond. I remember our teachers bringing in episodes of Degrassi to teach us about hard lessons in school. So then full circle to be a part of the show for so many seasons was just such a gift. And I think it really is like a stepping stone for a Canadian actor to be able to be a part of such a legendary show. So I'm very proud to have that on my resume.
Now, I can't let you go without talking about your podcast. The podcast is called The Shoutout Show. And I guess I guess we can describe it as a podcast for your happy place.
It started myself and Sophia Zolan, another comedian down here in Los Angeles, during the pandemic. You know, it was a really tough time for all of us. And we talked a lot when we were quarantined, but it was like a lot of it was that like what's going wrong and what we're scared of. And we just wanted to start something that was like this bright light of joy at that time, just for the sake of joyfulness. And so we started it off as an Instagram live we would do every week, and people started coming in and really loving it. And it was just a place for us to come together and talk about something that we were loving that week. We would pick two or three things and then shout them out. And then it turned into a live cyber show on Dynasty Typewriters platform. And then we turned that into a podcast where we would then have a guest come in and give us a mantra or something they were shouting out. And it was really just, like you said, it was like a real happy place, like a kind of shelter from the storm of all the negativity and doomsday stuff that was going on during the pandemic that really just was a natural fit to continue once things started becoming easier and the struggle sort of leaving. So and it's great. It's kind of my personality is that, you know, we want to talk about the hard things, but we also need to put in the forefront of our brain all the positive things, the things we're grateful for, the things that we're loving that are making us laugh or making us happy. So that's so important in life. So it's a great fun podcast, and it's available on all the streaming apps.
Well, all I can say is your parents done good, because you are living your passion and your dream. And
absolutely.
It's great to see. Again, we should mention, based on a true story, it's a series on Peacock. There is the shout out show, and people can find that wherever they find their podcasts. And how can one get your debut comedy album, All the Parts?
You can also, there's the special, the video version of it is on All Things Comedy's YouTube channel, and that's free. You can just look that up and go watch the whole thing. And the whole album is available on all the places, same places you would get your streaming stuff. So Apple, Spotify, Pandora, you name it. If there's comedy on there, I'm on there.
Excellent. Aisha, thank you very much for being on the program with us.
Thank you so much. This is such a pleasure. Great to chat. And look forward to everyone tuning into the show June 8th for Based on a True Story.
Aisha Alpha, one of the stars of the series called Based on a True Story, which premieres on Peacock on June the 8th. Her debut comedy album is All the Parts, and she's the co-host on the podcast, The Shoutout Show. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0719, and you'll find the link to Aisha's site, where you can also find the links to all of the work that this busy, busy lady is up to. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
There's still more guests, more news, and an idiot of the day coming your way on The Stuff File program. Stay tuned. The Stuff File program is a listener-supported, fan-funded radio show that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Sign up and find out about our rewards program. Being a patron doesn't have to be a long-term commitment. There's absolutely no obligation. You could join today and end whenever you'd like. But the time we have your support would be so greatly appreciated. We'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show and even your ideas for rewards. Join us for the ride. Join us at patreon.com/thestufffileprogram. You're listening to The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Batteries not included, some assembly required.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to Lady Patricia Farmer about how to have a proper tea party. Stuart Nullman is along with another edition of Book Banter. And of course, there is an idiot of the day coming your way a little later on. Plus, much more Stuff File news right here, right now. In Springfield, Colorado, a driver who was pulled over for speeding tried to switch places with his dog to avoid arrest. An officer watched him maneuvering inside the car before he got out on the passenger side. The man said he was not behind the wheel and clearly showed signs of being drunk. He ran from the officer when asked about how much he had had to drink and was caught within about 20 yards. After being taken to the hospital to be checked out, the man was arrested on suspicion of charges including driving under the influence of alcohol and/or drugs, as well as for previous warrants for his arrest. And to my knowledge, they didn't charge the dog with anything. There was no breath test on the dog. They never even checked to see if he had an expired license. An officer wearing a body camera in Tampa, Florida, recorded a man who was yelling at him, "You think I can't do it? I got a black belt in karate and a black belt in judo. You're gonna be in a world of hurt." Yeah. The confrontation happened after the officer responded to a report of a man bothering customers and threatening workers in a smoke shop. When the officer arrived, a worker asked that the man, later identified as William Busey, be trespassed out of the store. Busey approached the officer and was calm, but when told he was banned from the store, he allegedly made his threat. On the video, Busey can be seen throwing something at the officer, which hit him in the chest. He was arrested for battery on a law enforcement officer with a piece of luncheon meat. Well, that brings new meaning to getting spammed. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, two people were arrested after police say they assaulted and tried to rob the employees at a Toledo, Ohio Wendy's restaurant after cheese was left off the chicken sandwich they ordered. What normally is on Wendy's chicken sandwich?
Wendy's new Italian mozz is fried mozzarella, garlic knot bun, you know what? You're just going to want to eat it.
Okay, fine. Don't tell us. Dominique Ezell and Jelena Stewart are facing robbery charges after they allegedly tried to take an employee's phone during the altercation. Employees called 911. They told officers that a disgruntled drive-through customer who did not receive cheese on her crispy chicken sandwich entered the restaurant and angrily confronted the employees. Without provocation, she grabbed two Frosties from the counter and threw them at the employees and knocked over and threw several items from the register area, including the cookie display, which hit and injured a pregnant female employee. Police say Stewart was carrying a minor child at the time. Shortly after, Azell came in and began throwing items as well, damaging a cash register. Employees were able to remove the two suspects and were taking photos of them and the vehicle when Stewart allegedly grabbed an employee's hair and pulled her to the ground in order to take the phone. The phone was retrieved by another employee before the two suspects drove off, but not before Azell returned the chicken sandwich, without cheese, by throwing it into the restaurant.
Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new Italian mozzarella chicken sandwich.
Actually, if you're going to choose wisely, then perhaps choose not to get overly bent out of shape just because of a missing piece of cheese. Be an adult. Even children know how to properly ask for cheese.
Cheese, please.
See? Anyway, let's get to our next guest here in this edition of the Stuff File program, shall we? Lady Patricia Farmer is back on the show. We had her on the show way back in 2015 for her book, Playboy Swings, How Hugh Hefner and Playboy Changed the Face of Music. We also had her on the show back in 2012 for the book, The Persian Room Presents. Well, her latest title is Tea Under the Palms, From Leaf to Kettle, A History of Tea and the Art of the Proper Tea Party. When she was just 7 years old, it was her mother who introduced her to the ritual of afternoon tea at the Plaza Hotel's Palm Court in New York City. Lady Patricia Farmer joins us via Zoom from New York. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Peter. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Nice to have you back on the show. And all the times I talked to you in the past, I never knew you had a title.
I do. Misspent Youth.
Now, I have to say, full confession, I grew up in an immigrant family. My parents are from Barbados. My older sisters all were born there. I'm the only one born in Canada. Barbados was known back then as Little Britain, so it is the most steeped in British culture as you can get on the West Indies. And my family, they've all wanted to disown me because I'm the one person who does not drink tea.
What do you drink? Coffee?
No, I don't drink coffee either.
That could make for some other interesting alternatives.
I've never been a hot beverage person with the exception of hot chocolate.
Ooh, maybe cool champagne. Or Bloody Mary, something like that with your breakfast.
I'm not an alcohol drinker either. So it's you know, my family, they sometimes they think I'm adopted, which is entirely possible.
That air of mystery, that's what I love about you, Peter.
So as I said in the intro, it was just 7 years old when your mother introduced you to the ritual of afternoon tea at the Plaza Hotel, the Palm Court there. What was that like, and what was so special about it that you've not only kept it up, but you've written a book about it?
You know, it was just one of those things. You know, we all have something we can point to when we were young that was very impactful. And my mother taking me to afternoon tea, the whole ritual of it, you know, prior to going, she had told me about it. I had to dress up and she told me I had to sit up straight and put my manners on, my Sunday manners. But it wasn't only that, it was going into the Palm Court, the elegance of it, the tea itself, you know, with the three tiers of goodies, you know, from the scones to the savories to the sweets. That was fabulous. And you're going to think I'm crazy, but I was just overwhelmed that there were trees inside the restaurant, palm trees that went up to the ceiling. And that made a big impression on me, and that's how I wanted to live. From 7 years old, I just wanted to have that elegant lifestyle and have tea, you know, as much as I wanted. So that really started a lifelong quest. And of course, my mother at that point used it as a teaching experience and told me if I wanted to live like that, I had to go to college, get a good degree, and get a high-paying job. That's how it started.
Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, there are so many other books that you've written in the past, Playboy Swings, The Persian Room presents. Why this particular one now? Especially considering it was so near and dear to your childhood. Why now?
You know, we've chatted about it before. Typically, I write about jazz and music and entertainment, but I just, it is something I really, really enjoy. And it, believe it or not, is such a rich topic. You know, there's such a lot packed into, you know, the history of tea, you know, how it started. I wrote in the book a little quote, and it said, or I say, wars have been waged, royal marriages arranged, companies formed, and world problems solved over that perfect cup of tea. It's neither inebriating, expensive, nor fattening. And there's nothing quite so effective as, for regaining one's equilibrium. And if you think about it, even as a non-tea drinker, it's true. It just, you don't gulp down tea. You typically have it with friends or colleagues, and you sit down, you take a breath, and enjoy it. And at this point in my life, I just wanted to write something fun. You know, Playboy was great fun, but it was so in-depth. And such a huge responsibility, you know, interviewing all the greats, you know, Sonny Rollins and Tony Bennett and on. I had over 300 interviews there. It was high pressure to make sure I got every single thing accurate. And with tea, it's all accurate, you know, all the history, but it was a little bit more lighthearted.
Well, let's start with the tea itself. What, as far as you're concerned, is the perfect tea? Because there are several kinds of teas, several types of teas. What's your go-to tea?
My go-to is I like something spicy, so maybe a chai. You know, typically I go for the chai. But if I'm in a more mellow mood, I might default to peppermint or one of the green teas. Something a little bit lighter.
And the other part of this is the tea party. So beyond getting the tea, what's the proper thing to do or to offer up at a tea party?
Tea parties are fabulous because you have all that great food. You know, a lot of people, like I did when I was 7 years old, they get a little bit intimidated by the do's and the don'ts. But, and there are a lot of rules, you know, starting with when ladies reach the table, you know, what do you do with your handbag? And here in the States, typically we throw our lovely bags on the floor or we hook them over the chair. And that's one thing that you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to put it in that little nook between the chair back and the seat. And if nothing else, it forces you to sit up straight and look like you have terrific posture. So that's what you have to do just upon hitting the table. And then there are so many other things. You know, how do you take that food from the tiered trays? You know, one way people goof up is they pile everything that they want on their plate. And that's a no-no. You don't take more than two things on your plate. And then you eat them and then you can go back. Also, a big, big faux pas is taking directly from the tea tier and eating directly from there. That's like, oh my gosh, you cannot do that. It goes from the tier to the plate to the mouth. But it's all great fun. I think people enjoy having rules like that. You know, just for an hour every once in a while.
Well, we've lived in a time, we are living in a time where literally times have changed. And we've also just gone through the pandemic. So I think the combination of changing times and what we just went through, people seem to have lost social skills. So is one of the reasons for this book to just remind people of that there are some rules and there are ways of doing things and that the ways of doing things can be in fun and enlightening and full of camaraderie?
You've hit it right on the head, Peter. You know, I think it's a time also to de-stress a little bit, which sounds counterintuitive when we're talking about rules, rules, rules. But from my research, I'm finding that the younger demographics, millennials and younger, are really lobbing onto this tradition. You see more and more of the young business people, and they're more mixed. You know, it's not only ladies going for tea. You find a mixture of the sexes having tea, younger demographics. And I think they just like turning off their cell phones for an hour or an hour and a half, de-stressing, like you said, the camaraderie, and just it's a nice way to relax, have a nice meal. You get a huge variety to eat. You don't have to pick one thing. You know, you're not limited to a hamburger or a plate of spaghetti. You can have a ham sandwich and a salmon little nibble and all these other things while you're having fun and having tea and, you know, enjoying something new, because it's not an everyday thing for any of us, I don't think.
Would you consider this book, Tea Under the Palms, a combination of a bit of a history and biography and also a how-to?
I would. It's really a fun book. And surprisingly enough, you know, my previous books have been well received. Playboy Swings, probably thanks to your show, was a bestseller, and I won an award for Playboy Laughs. But this book has outsold them already. And I think it's because, well, the coronation kind of focused everybody's attention on tea. But again, it's something different and something fun and beautiful, and you can share it with your husband, significant other, partner, whatever. Just go for a cup of tea, relax, take in a beautiful ambiance somewhere. But the book is a little bit of history. I tell, you know, how it started. And you might not know this, although you're brilliant and you know everything. But tea, everybody thinks tea made its appearance in England first. Well, it didn't. It actually started in France, you know, the afternoon tea. Of course, we all know it started growing in China. But the afternoon tea ritual, Louis the 14th and his queen, Marie Antoinette, were big tea drinkers. And like I kid in the book, I say we now know what Marie Antoinette was drinking with her tea.
Okay.
But that's part of the history. It's a fun a book, and you really do learn something new. And I give some suggestions for where to go for tea, how some recipes if you want to have your own tea party at home. So it's a small book, but it's chock full of fun things.
It's, as you say, a fun book as well. I thank you for being on the program with us again. The book is Tea Under the Palms, and it's always nice to talk to you, Patty, or should I say now, Lady Patricia Farmer.
Why don't we just compromise and say Lady Patty?
Lady Patty, I like that. Thanks for being on the program with us once again.
Thank you so much.
Lady Patricia Farmer, author of Tea Under the Palms, From Leaf to Kettle, A History of Tea and the Art of a Proper Tea Party. You can go to my website at thestuffwhile.com to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0719, and you'll find the link to Lady Patty's site, plus links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order her book directly. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
Got something for the mailbag? Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. Send your email to mailbag@thestufffile.com. And remember, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's mailbag@thestufffile.com. Or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Hey, how would you like to become a patron of the Stuff File program? It's easy to do. By going to patreon.com and becoming a patron, you help to make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. And if you become a regular patron, as a Patreon reward, I'll share with you an electronic version of my book, Great Conversations, my interviews with two men on the moon and a galaxy of stars. You've heard me say on many occasions about the myriad of celebrities I've had the chance to talk to that are contained in my book, which is published by Bear Manor Media. You've also heard me mention that some of the celebrities in my book, and many others, can be heard on our page at patreon.com. If you've been on the fence about joining Patreon, let me try to pull you over to our side. Join Patreon and claim your copy of Great Conversations, my interviews with two men on the moon and a galaxy of stars. Sign up at patreon.com/thestufffileprogram.
Coming to you from Canada, a place where fighting is frowned upon, unless it's on an ice rink. This is the Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder. It's time to crack a spine. The Stuff File presents Book Banter with Stuart Nolman. Once again, here's Peter Anthony Holder.
And yes, once again, Stuart Nolman joins us here on the Stuff File program, answering the burning question, never wish your parents dead.
No, not at all. Unless you decide to profit from it, but we don't recommend that, believe me. But you know what, Peter, before I start the review, I have a question to ask you.
Yes.
What do you think? What do you think is the most stressful, hazardous job in Hollywood?
Best boy or gaffer?
Well, could be. It's a good answer. Some people will say maybe a stunt person, or maybe a showrunner, or a producer, or maybe a personal assistant to a celebrity. But you know, in the past 100 years. In the Hollywood movie and TV industries, in the greater scheme of things, I think that answer would be child stars.
Oh, well, that goes without saying.
Yeah. Those of you who are saying it's child stars.
It's slave labor. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, what do you mean child stars? Let me explain to you. You know, they may look cute and precocious in roles in family-oriented fare that would make them megastars, but like a car, they begin to show their age and lose their luster as they get older. And their fishbowl careers in the spotlight and in front of the camera can end quite abruptly as these cute kids become adults. And if they don't face the reality of having a regular life after the glimmer and glamour of Hollywood fades, the results can be tragic. You know, there could be bankruptcy, there could be drug addiction, alcoholism, crime, poverty, and psychiatric issues. And the casualty list for the child star is quite endless. I mean, look at this. Just to name a few. There's Jackie Coogan, Bobby Driscoll, Carl Alfalfa Schweitzer, Rusty Hamer, Gary Coleman, Todd Bridges, Dana Plato, Patty Duke, and Danny Bonaducci. But another name to add to this casualty list is Jeanette McCurdy, who is best known for her recurring role as Sam Puckett on the Nickelodeon teen sitcom iCarly and its spinoff Sam and Cat, in which she co-starred in the latter with an up-and-coming young singer named Ariana Grande. But during her time on both series, McCurdy endured the hazards of being a child star who couldn't handle the sudden fame, such as a stage mother from hell, condescending producers, endless promotional tours, health issues, including a near-fatal eating disorder, and a struggle to draw the line between fantasy and reality. But luckily, McCurdy survived this uphill struggle, left the acting profession, but still lives in L.A., and as a form of self-therapy, she put together a solo show that played to sold-out crowds in L.A., which evolved into her number one New York Times bestselling memoir, I'm Glad My Mom Died. Now, I read this book, and it was fascinating, and I thought it was one of the best former child star memoirs since Patty Duke's Call Me Anna. See, McCurdy tells her story in a blunt, honest, and humorous manner of how she lived through an upbringing in California that was white trash in nature in a ramshackle house filled with furniture that was Walmart and Costco chic. At the age of six, she won her first acting audition and with the goal of living her mother's dream of fame and fortune in show business. And her mother put her through the ringer towards that goal in such extreme measures, which reached its peak with what her mom called, and I quote, calorie restriction, which meant eating nothing but granola bars and steamed vegetables and weighing herself five times a day in order to get that perfect show business weight that could win her more auditions. But when McCurdy auditioned for and won the part of Sam Puckett in iCarly, it was more like being a successful actor so that her mom could taste the fame. In fact, McCurdy was uncomfortable in the spotlight and became more and more of a reluctant celebrity. And that sense of reluctance led to self-punishment despite her mother, especially anorexia and bulimia. And to top things off, her mother was dying of a terminal form of cancer, which strengthened her mother-daughter ties and determination of making her final years more comfortable. But at times veered off from reason and rationality, especially during a birthday dinner for the mom. She asked McCurdy if she would sing Wind Beneath My Wings at her funeral.
Yikes.
Yeah, exactly. Yikes.
Yikes.
But if there's any semblance of sanity to her story, she credits that to her friendship with iCarly star Miranda Cosgrove. And so it sort of gave her a chance to live life as a real teenager than a shadow of her mother's ambitions. But this book is part memoir, part confessional, and part toxic, more like a part toxic dysfunctional soap opera, more like. I'm Glad My Mom Died is a brutally honest coming-to-terms story of a child star and the fame of being lived through the dreams of an overly ambitious parent from a survivor of a group of young stars who ended up on a too lengthy casualty list.
Now, does it read as an actual, you know, how-to book or how-not-to book, or does it read like a bitter person trying to get back at their mom?
I think it's the latter. It doesn't say, you know, when if you're a child star, think of the Coogan laws or go to don't trust this, don't trust that. It's a very... it's bitter and sweet and, very humoristic as well. But it's basically Jeanette McCurdy getting a lot off her back. I mean, you know, like I said, she's happy now. You know, she's doing a podcast. She produces plays, but she doesn't act anymore. She's in a much more happier space. But I guess this is a way of, how can I say, catharsis. But it's so readable. It really grabs you, and I can understand why it did so well, and it's still on the New York Times bestseller list.
So the book is?
It's called I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy. It's published by Simon & Schuster, and it's $36.99.
And dare I ask, what other books in this genre do you recommend?
Oh, there's quite a few, actually, but the two I'm going to mention is the one I... previously mentioned, Call Me Anna by Patty Duke, because her problem was, you know, she won an Oscar in her first role in The Miracle Worker, but she had a lot of mental health and psychiatric issues. And the other one, on a more lighter note, is The Boys, the dual autobiography of Ron and Clint Howard.
Mm. I will add a third, only because she is a friend of this program and has been on it several times. Alison Arngrim. Her book, Confessions of a Prairie Bitch.
Oh, that's right. Little Nelly, Nelly Olson.
I can't recommend Allison's work enough. She is an amazing person inside and out, and her sense of humor comes through, and she had some harrowing moments as a child actor, but she has lived through them all, and she manages to laugh about the whole experience, the good, the bad, and the great.
And she's a survivor.
And she's definitely a survivor. And heck, her mom was the voice of Casper. I mean, you can't go
really?
Wrong. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, in the original Harvey cartoons of the 50s. Really?
Yeah. And a Canadian at that. Anyway, this week's book again is?
It's called I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy. It's published by Simon & Schuster. And it's $36.99.
And where can one find Stuart Nullman?
Well, I'm not at the latest meeting of Child Star Anonymous, because I wasn't a child star. Let's be grateful about that. But
you know, you still could be.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's not too late. It's not too late.
Yeah.
I just got to find a good family-oriented sitcom. But you can find me before that. You can find me in the Montreal Times every week. You just go to www.mtltimes.ca.
Thank you very much, Stu.
Oh, you're welcome, Mr. Kincaid. I mean, Peter, sorry.
Stuart Nullman with another edition of Book Banter here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
The Stuff File.
And we're just about out of racetrack for this edition of the Stuff File program. We have a few more Stuff File news stories to share with you, and of course, an idiot of the day, so let's get right back to it, shall we? Students will go to just about any length to get out of a test, even outer space. So it was in Hemlock, Michigan on May the 16th when an enterprising student reported an alien invasion to avoid a math test. The student reported that ETs came from the skies in flying saucers and landed on the playground, and the rumors quickly began circulating among the student body on social media. But Superintendent Don Killingbeck wasn't having it. He said, "We have thoroughly investigated the situation, and there is no evidence of any alien activity on our school grounds." He added, "The prankster has been disciplined." Gee, I hope it's not with an alien probe. I'm curious to know which is more problematic, the mindset of the prankster or the gullibility of the student body on social media. In late April, the Parker, Colorado Police Department issued an alert about a missing person. They named Kevin Cipher and included a portrait and photos of the last time he was seen, walking down a residential street carrying two trash bags, presumably captured by a security camera. A few hours later, the El Paso County Sheriff's Office dropped the other shoe. Cipher is one of their deputies, they said, making the matter more urgent. He was found alive and well 2 days later. The day after that, Cipher and his family went to the Rocky Mountain National Park, where he likes to hike. The day after that, the park issued an alert about a missing person. Cipher was last seen at the entrance of the park where he walked away from his family. The next day, someone spotted him near a trailhead, but as of press time, there has been no more reports since then, and his sheriff's office has not issued any more alerts, and an active search has been suspended. You know, sometimes people just don't want to be found. I mean, how else can you explain someone going missing twice in less than a week? Also, going back to when he was last captured on security cameras, is anybody concerned about what he was carrying in those two trash bags? Yeah. An Altoona, Pennsylvania man is behind bars after calling 911 for a house fire he allegedly started while trying to burn spiders from his home. Altoona Police and the Altoona Fire Department responded to the home of 42-year-old Joshua Jenkins on May the 25th around 7 p.m. after he called 911 saying his house was in danger of burning down. According to the criminal complaint, Jenkins was combative when first responders arrived and gave them difficulty while trying to locate where the fire actually was. Jenkins related to responders that he was using a butane torch, later discovered to be a propane torch, to burn spiders and spider nests around the outside of his house. It was noted in the complaint that an Altoona officer eventually had to grab Jenkins' arm and escort him to the backyard after he allegedly tried to stop the firefighters from taking a hose into his house. Jenkins told police he was using the torch because he was sick of all the spiders and bugs. Fire officials told police that if Jenkins hadn't called 911, it's likely his house would have been burned down and possibly catch the commercial building next door on fire as well. Jenkins has been charged with arson, risking a catastrophe, possession of an instrument of crime, tampering with evidence, and other lesser charges. Well, where he's going, spiders and bugs will be the least of his problems. Two brothers in Langkawi, Malaysia, were detained after crashing the car one was driving into a lamppost on May the 10th. It's not hard to imagine why driving might have been difficult for them. They were 6 and 3 years old. Police Chief Sharamon Ashari said the Toyota Vios they were in attracted attention from other drivers who thought the driver might be intoxicated. The boys sneaked out of their home and took the car, hoping to buy a toy car at the local shops. Said the 6-year-old, "Mama is at home and we are going to the store." The 3-year-old added, "We want to buy a black car." The only injury was a cut to one boy's chin. I'm going on the assumption that they're not getting that toy car. Yeah. Anyway, boys and girls, it's that moment you've all been waiting for. It's time now for the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. The Stuff File presents the Idiot of the Day.
An Oklahoma man is facing an indecent exposure charge after allegedly using AirDrop to send explicit photos of himself to employees at a real estate firm where he was applying for an apartment. Police say 23-year-old Stajak Helm used the AirDrop feature on his phone to transmit photos of his private parts and of himself naked in front of a mirror. Investigators describe the alleged offense as indecent exposure via digital means. And by the way, I guess this means that analog perverts are now passé. Anyway, Helm went to a Texas realtor to apply for an apartment. An employee of the firm told police that they directed Helm to sit at a computer for the application process. While Helm was filling out the application, two workers received AirDrop notifications on their phones. Curious as to what the contents were, they both accepted the AirDrop, only to discover the naked selfies. Helm was arrested and booked into the county jail on the felony count. It does not appear that Helm, who lives with his parents, got the desired apartment. But, you know, that's okay. He won't need one. Because why, oh why, would you AirDrop naked selfies to total strangers at a real estate firm while you're trying to rent an apartment, thus getting you a felony count? One reason, and one reason only. You're an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program, number 0719. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, and you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0719. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as PA Holder. And don't forget to check us out on patreon.com, where you can become a patron of the program. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including kdxradio.com, truetalkradio.com, over the air on World FM in New Zealand, WLSL LP FM in Dade City, Florida, KZZH LP FM in Eureka, California, CKUW FM in Winnipeg, CFMU in Hamilton, CKLU in Sudbury, Local 107.3 FM in St. John, CHSR in Fredericton, and also streaming on just about any streaming service your little heart desires. That's it. Bye-bye.
You've been getting jiggy with Peter Anthony Holder and the Stuff File program, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. He's a bad mamma jamma, and after he spends some chill time in his crib, he'll be back to get down with his bad self. Word up.